Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother Two Post, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. I want to make an audio today, a teaching audio, that's going to encourage you and glorify God. My topic for today is living like you're not of this world. Living like you're not of this world. Now, this is mainly, obviously, to born-again saints born by the gospel. Go to don'tperish.com, check out the gospel. By Christ's death, burial, and resurrection through repentance and new life, we're following him in holiness and obedience, enduring through this life. This is who this is aimed at. But I want to talk about living like we're not of this world, no matter where we live. Now, my website is full of all kinds of teachings about living in holiness, coming out of the culture, how we dress, how we act, how we talk, what we preach. I teach on all that and make biblical disciples. This isn't about that. What this is about is how to order your life daily so that you're living like you're not of this world. Let me give you some scripture verses to start out. Our Lord and Savior said in John 17, 16 through 17, "They are not of the world," speaking of his people, "even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Hey, look how we get sanctified by the truth. Truth matters, doesn't it? And so we're not of this world, and that's what I want to focus on today. And then Philippians 1, 27. Brother and I were going over Philippians 1 last night. Philippians 1, 27. "Only let your conversation," that means citizenship, because we're citizens of heaven, not earth, "be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." So we are citizens of another kingdom. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God. There's this kingdom of Satan, which is the world systems. And so 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us Satan's the god of this world. Everything that man and Satan's created is outside of the Father's ways, if it's not good, pure, and true. So that's what I want to talk about. Living like you're not of this world, no matter where you live. Now, if anybody knows about us, we used to be homesteaders at one time. Now, we're full-time van dwellers. We live in our camper van. We sold everything we own. And we don't have a regular place to dwell on this earth. About the only thing we have is a bed in our camper van to lay our heads. We sold it all to free ourselves to go follow Christ, preach him crucified. We know and make disciples all over the world, really. And we go into the streets, lift up Christ crucified, and of course we expose false teaching, make disciples, we do all kinds of things. So, our stripping down our lives, we used to be homesteaders, it gave us a eternal focus, a spiritual focus, and being van dwellers, not having a set place, waking up every day, moving to another spot, not really being welcome to stay in one place very long unless you rent a camp spot, which we don't do. We stay in a lot of free places that allow you to stay free. We don't mooch, but we're customers, and then they let us stay, and the next day we got to move on. What this has caused is it's caused us to grow up, to mature, to have an eternal focus, to be stronger in the things of God, as opposed to being connected to the things of the world, resting where we are, being comfortable. Yeah, that's what we once used to do. It's helped us to mature. Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That word perfect, yeah, we should all strive to not sin and be perfect, but it really means complete and mature, because we're all going to make mistakes and fall into sin or even choose sin. We got to repent of it. Don't live it willfully. Be cleansed. But perfect means to be complete and mature. What we've seen in our ministry is far too many people that claim Christ, churchgoers or people who just have faith in God, they're spending most of their effort on the world and the kingdom of Satan and material things and this life and their home and their hobbies and their interests, not eternal things. Ponder that. That's what I want to talk about. How to live like we're not of this world, no matter where we live. So let me explain a little bit more where I'm going with this. Not everybody, I get it, not everybody can go and leave and retire early. We fund ourselves. I don't take people's money. Not everybody can go and live this nomadic van life that we live. I get it. And this has allowed us to cut all of their earthly things out of our lives for the most part. But I want to give you some ideas I want to give you some ideas of how you can live like you are not of this world. All right, somebody was just walking by yelling out there, got distracted. there's van life, right? I'm in a parking lot making this teaching. I want to give you some ideas of how you can cut the earthly ties and you can live your life as if you're just passing through and not settled in, no matter where you live. We had an off-grid homestead, and we carved it out of the woods. There was nothing there when we showed up, and we made a place to live, a place to grow food, storage buildings. We had some guest cabins made, put in a well. Hey, there's no sin in that stuff. I'm not saying there is, but you know what happened in our life? My life mostly. It was more me than Sister Amen, my wife. I enjoyed it too much. I believe that those things became a part of me because I love God's creation. I love the peace of the country. I love doing all that stuff. And it caused me to lose my focus. And maybe those kind of things become a little bit of an idol. When we lose our focus on the Lord, the things that get in between us and the Lord become an idol. 1 Timothy 6:8. And having food and raiment, let us be content therein. Yeah, did you notice it doesn't even mention shelter? Shelter's a nice thing. I like a shelter. We have a shelter in our camper van. But food and raiment, let us be content. So these things of the world, whether it's a homestead, a nice house, even an apartment, it's all cozy, comfy, you're settled in, you feel comfortable there. It does become an idol. It can. What it does is it fills up the flesh. And for me, it kept me from focusing and going and serving God the way I should, the way He called me to do it. The fact is, it was easier in my flesh to stay on this comfy, quiet, peaceful homestead with no enemies around. I owned it. I controlled it all. Than to go out into the world, preach the gospel, and do battle. You see what I'm saying? Do spiritual battle. Fallen man has a way in his nature to like to please his flesh. 1 Thess 5:3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Yeah, man likes to look for peace and safety. But you know what? The fact is, we can't stay on this earth. We got to go. We're just passing through if we're born of Christ, are we not? So I got convicted, and I decided that I could have kept it all, made some adjustments, and it would have been fine. It wouldn't have been sinful, and I could have still done some ministry. But we decided to sell it all. I decided, Sister Amen was right with me, to pluck it all out, give it up for Christ. You know why? We got to leave it all anyway. When I die, I can't take that homestead with me. Whatever Sister Amen likes on this earth, she can't take it with her. You can't take your things with you. So we decided to lose it early to go into ministry, to go out in the world, preach Christ crucified. Yeah, also to make disciples online and fellowship with people online. Jesus said this in Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yeah, I love that verse. I could have compromised. We could have compromised. Could have kept our careers, had our little secluded properties, lived a good, comfy, material life, rich. Yeah, a lot more richer than we are now, we could have been. Quiet, peace, safety. Instead, what did we choose? Well, we sold everything. We fund ourselves. We don't take anybody's money. We're not a burden to anyone. We're out in the world. I'm working out in this mobile office right now, and I get to street preach. We're working towards another busy festival again this weekend, and I get to witness one-on-one to the people, the lost, the religious people around us. It's a great life. I love it. And what I found was is that settled life of comfort on a homestead, if you're not careful, an apartment, a house, wherever, it leads you to a few dangerous things. Idleness, complacency, spiritual laziness, compromise, a loss of focus on the kingdom of God, no desire to reach the lost. You know, I'm out here in the world. I see drug addicts. We see crime. We see men in the gutter to men in million-dollar motorhomes. We see the souls. Being out here helps that a lot. When you kind of live on your little homestead, you don't see much. No, you don't see much at all. So that kind of really changed us. And I'm kind of setting this up to give you some ideas of how, where you live, no matter how you live, even though you can't be a full-time van dweller, I get it. Maybe you can't ever do that. A lot of you could if you stripped your life down, but a lot of you can't. I get it. We're going to give you some ideas on how you can live that not being of this world, no matter where you live. We use Apostle Paul as an example. Hey, he traveled, and then there were times he lived and rented a place and did ministry. Acts 28:30. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in this own hired house and received all that came to him. So Paul was traveling, and he also spent time in a house. People came to him. I can promise you, no matter if Paul was traveling or if Paul was in one set place, he was focused on the kingdom work from the Father. He wasn't decorating. He wasn't about a cozy, easy life. He wasn't getting in his flesh saying, oh, I love it here. Paul was focused on the kingdom, pouring himself out. That's what I want to be. What do you want to be? That's a question to ask yourself. So that's kind of just the baseline for this. And now that you know about our journey, if you don't already know that, if you can't go and do what I did, sell everything, go become a van dweller, you're not a street preacher, can you live in one place and not be of this world? What can you do to not be settled in comfort, to not get comfortable, to not get spiritually lazy, to not get complacent, to not look to all the things of this fallen world rather than looking and focusing on things above? Well, this is what this teaching is about. I'm going to give you some thoughts right here. There's a whole bunch more that could be had, but I'm going to give you some thoughts. Ready? First one, every day preach the gospel to yourself. Remember, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're not here to live your own life. You're a bond slave to serve Him. Right there, that should tell you, you don't get the opportunity to live for yourself. You're to live for Him. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's an awesome verse. We don't live for ourselves. We live for Christ. That's a good start to know that you're not of this world. How about this one? Redeem the time. Make sure you're seeking the kingdom, striving to serve the kingdom, and not caught up in a lifetime of maintaining a home, dusting lots of trinkets, keeping a fancy yard you don't really need. Just giving you some examples here. Worrying about an extensive wardrobe you shouldn't really even have. Hobbies, idols, material things, boats, bikes, four-wheelers that you don't even use or need. All this stuff eats up your time. It did me. Ephesians 5 says to redeem the time. How are you redeeming the time for the kingdom of God? Yeah, I found multiple properties and homesteads ate up a lot of my time that I couldn't focus on the Lord. It's true. It's true. How about this one? Clear your life out of all your fleshly hobbies, man-made holidays, anything that's not of the Father and not about eternal things, seeking holiness. Yeah, we cleared our life out of all the birthday parties and all of the worldliness and all that stuff and stripped our life down so it was a bare minimum. 1 Peter 1:15, be holy in all your ways. When you do that, you're going to be living for the kingdom of God, are you not? How about this one? Lose your career. Yeah, many, many careers cause you to have your focus on the job, all the pressures, all the responsibility, continuing education. Why don't you ponder this? Why don't you get a lowly grunt job that makes enough money for you to support yourself and your family, but it keeps you humble? Then pour yourself into ministry when you're not at work. Your family, your brother and sisters, if you have them, fellowship and ministry. Psalm 69:32. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Or your heart shall live that seek God. Be humble. Careers puff you up. I had to lose mine. Sister Amin had to lose hers. It becomes an entanglement. You become entangled in the ways of the world. Lose your career. I just had a brother who got a new job, moved to a new town, and he lost his career. He went to college for 4 years, got it. He turned away from his career because it was causing him sin. He now has a low-level job. And you know what? He understands that's fine. Makes him money to make his ends meet. He's not a burden to anyone. And then he can go out and serve the Lord. Yeah, lose the careers. That's going to be an impediment between you and the kingdom of God. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Amen? Amen. How about this? If you have a choice, live cheap, downsize real small, go without a lot of material stuff that's meaningless and not needed, then he could focus better on the things of God and the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:2, focus on things above. If you can, sell your big house, get to something smaller. Get out of an apartment, get to something smaller. You got a bunch of material things, get rid of it. Stuff that you don't need. What do you need to just get by? One great thing about van life, we pretty much bring with us everything we need. Anything that is fluff and isn't needed can't make the trip. I love that. I got to get rid of so much stuff that I didn't need. It was a glorious thing. How about this? If you live in one place, hear me now. Some decorating isn't sinful. I get it. We got a couple little things hanging on the wall here in our camper van that make us think of the Lord, His creation and His word. I get that. But be careful. It's just a bedroom. It's just a bathroom. It's just a kitchen where you cook. Don't clutter your life up with trinkets, decorations, things you got to worry about. You got to clean. You got to drag with you. Get rid of what isn't needed. Yeah, if you got a tool that makes your life simpler and more time efficient to serve the kingdom of God, get it. Sister Amin bought a little electrical device the other day for $8 that makes her life a lot simpler. She can focus on ministry and discipling and fellowshipping with sisters. Get it. Do it. Is it added fluff? Is it a luxury? Do we seek those things? No. We let those things go. And so we can focus on the kingdom of God more than anything. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Live simple. Live simple. This is a key. How about this? Outside of your job and growing food, nothing wrong with a garden, that's a good thing to have, and basic home keeping, cleaning, what are you doing every day in your home for the kingdom of God versus life here on earth? I'm talking about, are you focused on all the material things because you got so much? Hobbies, interests, all that stuff. Or are you studying? Are you online emailing saints? Are you doing ministry? Are you fellowshipping with true saints? Is your mind, heart, and life set on the kingdom and what's eternal versus all the material things around you? That's something to ponder. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added unto you." I love that. How about this one? Make set times to be in study of the word, training up, and then seeking how you can minister as you go out in the world. Stores, gas stations, in your neighborhood, go for walks, wherever you go, whatever you're doing. Are you focused on taking Christ and the gospel with you? 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. How about this one? Have set ministry times and outlets that you do daily and on weekends. I'm talking about going out and flying gospel signs. If you're a man and you want to street preach, how about mailing out tracts, emailing the gospel? There's millions of emails online. How about get out of the house as much as possible? We already talked about going for a walk. If you have to take a bike, if it's longer distance, or if you take your car, if you got one, long trips, short trips, whatever, and go out and look for opportunities for God to use you. Get out of the house. Get out of your comfort level. Get out of, and do it smart. I understand, ladies, if you're by yourself, be careful here. Do it smart. But men, no excuse for you. Get out there. Ladies, no excuse. You have plenty of opportunities where you can do it, where you live, I'm sure. And so think about that. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can do that right in your neighborhood. You don't get to be a traveling van dweller, okay? You can do it right in your neighborhood. You can do it online. You can do it with everybody you know. You can do it with everybody you meet at the gas station, a food place, go to farmers markets. Yeah, no excuses. People are all around us everywhere. How about this one? On a regular basis, look to grow and stretch yourself to do new and different types of ministry in the Lord. Don't get settled, saints and seekers. Seekers, if you're listening and you're going to come to Christ. Don't get settled, but be striving to grow and mature. Remember, perfect, mature means mature. Strive. Jesus said in Luke 13, strive to enter in the straight way. Your everyday should be a striving for the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? And that striving is not living like the world, no matter where you live. That's what I'm teaching about here. So the point of all these topics, you could think of a lot more, is if we look at Christ's life and Paul's life. What was it about? I tell brothers this all the time. They worked when they had to work. They did ministry. They had fellowship with true saints. They studied the word. They slept and did needed life requirements. You got to feed it. You got to clean your body. I get it. And then they went out into God's creation and recreated themselves. Their spirit recreated it. That's it. No hobbies, no worldly interests, no bunch of idle time sitting around unless they're recreating themselves to restore themselves. That's something to think about. Look at our lives. Let us examine. What are our lives about? That's something to think about. Those things in those men's lives, whether it was Christ or the men he called, nothing else mattered to them but the kingdom of God and serving it in spirit and truth. I want to ask you today, what should matter to us, saints? Who do we follow after? Christ, imitate Paul, right? 1 Corinthians 11. I hope this audio teaching just gets you pondering. Yeah, you say, oh, Brother Tupos, you live in a van and you travel and you can witness and preach every day and you retired early. You could do all that. Yeah, I can. God's called me to do it, made me able to do it. Took me a lot of years to get here. I had to make full proof of my ministry, and so did Sister Amen, to be in this position, all to the glory of God, by His grace, His word, His spirit, not of us. But what about you? Where do you live? What do you do? An apartment? You own a house, you share a house. I understand, you know, I know some saints that are widowed and they live in their own house and they can do more things now that they're widowed and they have flexibility. So they can do some of those things. We know saints that live as like an indentured servant to other people living in their house. They're limited to what they can do. They can't use the car as much maybe. They live out in the country, they can't walk, but they have internet access and they do the best they can. I know saints that have a blog every day and they Facebook every day and they edify every day. That's what I'm talking about. You can tell by their life. They are not set still living in this life. They are focused on the kingdom of God, and they're such a blessing to us to know people like that. So I hope you get pondering about that. No matter where you live, are you living like you're not of this world? Do you know you're just passing through? Do you set your time, your heart, your affections, your efforts, your resources, all on the kingdom of God? Fellowshipping with other saints, studying, preaching the gospel as you can, and growing your ministry up so that you can become perfect for the Lord, fully mature, sanctified in His word, which is the truth. Last verse, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Saints, get the mind of Christ and every day live it, and you will not be of this world no matter where you live. Don't settle in. Don't get comfy. Don't get your flesh comfortable here to the extent of where you're saying, I don't really want to go out and do this, or I don't want to go out and do that. You should be seeking and striving and asking God, what can I do for your kingdom? Our Savior sought to do the will of the Father with all of His life and all of His days. That should be what we do as well. Don't get caught up in material things. Yeah, you got to have them. Yes, you got to eat. Yes, men, you got to work and provide for yourself. But you don't need a lot of stuff. You don't need excess. You don't need to get comfy. You need to be working enough to go out and proclaim. Ladies, you have houses to take care of. I get it. Do your Titus 2 duties, but then don't overdo it. You don't need to be decorating. You don't need overkill. You can make simple meals. You can be involved in doing more ministry with your husband or doing ministry online or studying the word. Your effort and your time in your life should have an overriding majority of focus on the kingdom of God and eternal things, not material things. Think about that. Your time, your effort should be focused on eternal things, most of all, not the things of this world that are vain. Well, even if they're not vain, things that we need to do, eat, sleep, take care of children. I get it. That's all important. Taking care of children is definitely not vain. Grow them up in the Lord. That's a great thing. Teach them to go do ministry. But your time should be allotted to be mostly about the kingdom of God, not the things of this world. Hey, I'm going to leave it right there. I hope that inspires you to seek the kingdom with all that you are. Go to don'tperish.com, and it's going to help you with thousands of resources on the gospel, on godly living, on holiness, on coming out of the world, how to strip your life down. You know, we teach, real quick, three freedoms in Christ. You got to be born again by the gospel. You got to be debt-free, men and ladies, if you're single. Live debt-free, and you got to be free from this world system that causes you to sin. If you got a job that causes you to sin and stumble, get rid of it, get a new job. You need these three freedoms, and then when you have those three freedoms, you'll be able to set your life, and no matter where or how you live, in a van or in a house or in an apartment, you'll be able to set your affections on things above. That's my goal for you. We're here to help you. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. We're one day closer to another street preach that we're getting near, but we're preaching Christ crucified every day, witnessing. That's what we live to do. I hope that's your goal too. What a glorious Savior we serve. We love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. God be praised.